Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We began our service this morning with the Palm Sunday Gospel, the story of Jesus' famous ride into Jerusalem on the donkey. He knew what he had to do. He had 6 more days to teach. To teach his disciples, to teach the multitudes, to teach his detractors. So much to teach, sometimes with words, but also with his deeds, with his willingness to be led away to injustice, condemnation, and death. A lamb goes uncomplaining forth. And so the lamb taught, even with his silence, as Isaiah said he would. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. It was in silence that Jesus rode down from the Mount of Olives, down into the valley and up again into the city of Jerusalem. He didn't need to speak during that ride. The donkey did the speaking for him. Not literally, as a donkey once literally spoke to the false prophet Balaam in the Old Testament, but as the sign of what the words of the prophet Zechariah foretold, that the king would ride into his city on a donkey, righteous, lowly, having salvation. The crowds also spoke, as they acclaimed Jesus and cheered him with the words of Psalm 118, Hosanna, save to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus silently accepted their praises and their acknowledgement that he was the Son of David, the Messiah, and the true King of the Jews. It was just the day before, as we heard in our extended reading today, when Jesus humbly and silently accepted the worship of Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, there at Mary's house, as she poured that expensive, fragrant oil on Jesus' head and on his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. But he couldn't remain silent when the betrayer Judas criticized Mary. Why this waste? Then Jesus had to speak up to defend her and to inform them what this little ritual was really for. For the day of my burial, he said, which would happen within a week. So yes, Jesus knew very well why he would be riding into Jerusalem on the next day and what the end of it would be. And still he went, and he kept going. When Thursday of that week arrived, the Lord's final day of freedom on this earth, what would he do with it? What would you do with your last day of freedom on earth? Well, you heard it in today's reading. He had to celebrate with his disciples. He had to gather with them for so many reasons. On that Thursday evening, the first was the Passover meal itself. That too had been prepared in advance, just as the donkey had been prepared in advance, and Jesus told his disciples where to go to find it. So he told them where to go to find a man carrying a jar of water to follow him, and it would just happen that the house he entered would have a furnished upper room available during the busiest week in the whole year in Jerusalem and ready to be given to Jesus to use for that special evening and all that he would do there. Jesus celebrated the first part of that evening as the ritual celebration of the Passover, as Moses commanded it to be celebrated all the way back in Exodus chapter 12, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, so you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And he did eat it in haste, the first part of that meal with his disciples, though there would be more eating going on and many more lessons being taught. This, after all, was the night in which the whole Passover was fulfilled, the night to which the whole Passover had been pointing for 1,500 years, when Jesus, the Lamb of God, would go into captivity and shed his blood so that everyone who takes refuge under it, as the Israelites in Egypt once took refuge under the blood of the Lamb painted on their doorposts, would escape the destruction of death and hell, and from the guilt of sin, which is now washed away in the blood of the Lamb when sinners are brought to holy baptism and faith. So when Jesus and his disciples finished that Passover part of the meal, it marked the end of the Old Testament Passover as Jesus stepped forth to fulfill that shadow, the true Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But Jesus wasn't done teaching his disciples that night. You heard also this morning what he did as soon as that supper had ended. He got down on his hands and knees and washed his disciples' feet like a lowly slave or servant. In true humility, in an expression of genuine love. And yet, that would be the least service Jesus would render before the week was done. Both Jesus and St. Paul in today's epistle spell out for us what we should learn from the Lord's humble service on that evening and from the service of Good Friday too. If our Lord was willing to stoop down and serve his disciples and us in such a lowly way, with such genuine love and self-sacrifice, then we who claim him as our Lord must have the same mind toward one another. There's no room for pride in the Christian, no place for building ourselves up or tearing others down. Humility was one of the hallmarks of our Redeemer during his earthly life, so it must also be the hallmark of the Christian. Our Lord made himself obedient to death, even the death of a cross, in humble obedience to his Father and in humble service for us. Take the time during this Holy Week to reflect on the things Christ willingly suffered for you and for me. Repent and believe in him for salvation. Through faith in the Lamb of God, you have the forgiveness of sins now and eternal life to look forward to. Now learn from the Lamb. Learn to imitate him in his humility, in his love, in his devotion to his heavenly Father, and in his zeal for the salvation of sinners. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.